You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I welcome the Reverend Richard Resch, Professor of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Professor Resch, would you first of all tell us what you do?
I direct the chapel music program at the seminary, and I teach church music courses.
Easter is a great day for you, for me, for all Christians. What does music have to do with Easter?
Music is one of God's great gifts to His people. It is a powerful gift. And on Easter, it carries powerful texts. We have texts that tell of our joy and our gladness on this day, that tell what God has done in Christ, carried by this wonderful, powerful gift of music. And it adds to the celebration.
One of the great Easter hymns that you are directing for us on today's program is "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing." Could you tell us about the background of that hymn?
It's a wonderful hymn. The text comes from an early Latin hymn of about the 4th century. And then the tune that we know and that we're going to sing today is a tune that comes from 17th century Germany. And then it was wedded together, this text and tune, by an American in the mid-60s. And then 25 years later, I wrote some harmonizations for this hymn. So we have a text that is from the early church. We have music that comes from the Reformation era. And we have harmonizations that come from our own time.
What is the meaning of that union of previous centuries for us today?
This helps to unite us with the whole worshiping church of all ages, because the message was the same back in the 4th century. The text that they wrote about back then still is meaningful for us today.
Tell me how the text of "At the Lamb's High Feast" describes the richness and the joy of this day, a joy that abounds for many days to come.
It is a high praise text, one that has Christ at its center, what God has done for man in Christ. This text is strong because it's loaded with biblical references. It is strong because it speaks of how God feeds us in His means of grace, baptism, and Holy Communion. It is strong because it teaches us how we are to think about His death and our death. It is a text that does teach, and that is important for us. Our important hymns have always been good teachers.
Amen.
This hymn brings together several different centuries, several different musicians in one piece. What does that have to say to the people of Easter, the people who now look death in the face with confidence?
It unites us with the early church, with the church of the ages, because our needs are all the same. Any age, they have gone before us. That is what our future is. That's what we find out through this Easter message. That death no longer can appall us. They are no longer among us on this earth, but they are still alive in Christ. They have gone before us into that presence of Christ. They are with Him even now. They are experiencing that bliss that we one day will experience. When we cross over that door, that portal into the life eternal. And that's what we celebrate this day.
I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. And I wish to you, Professor Resch, the joy of the resurrected Christ in your life as He is present in mine, and I pray in all the lives of our listeners. Christians often regret that the world has secularized Christmas. They regret that the world has taken the Christ out of Christmas. But this world has not secularized Easter, because the world totally denies the Easter message. This world is dumbfounded at the news that a dead man has been restored to life. Today that message comes to you, who in many ways reflect the world in which you live. You live in a world that thinks that dead means dead and gone. You live in a world that has no real perspective beyond the here and now. You live in a world that has tried to secularize the church, and to our sorrow has succeeded in more ways than we care to admit. But this world can never secularize the resurrected Christ of Easter. If a tomb cannot hold Him, the world's opinion certainly will not confine Him. Before Him, this world stands dumbfounded, unable to comprehend that life and hope and joy is more than a fleeting sigh. But on this Easter, the resurrected Christ makes the people of the church sing in joy, in hope, and in victory. The church gathered in praise is a subject of Revelation chapter 5. And what a great text for Easter. It is a vision of heaven that God gave to John, the disciple of Jesus. It begins this way. In the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, I saw a scroll with writing both on the inside and outside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel calling out with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals on it?" Here, God is pictured on His throne. He holds a sealed scroll containing all His counsels, all His wisdom, all His knowledge. But that scroll is sealed, for God appears inaccessible to this world. All that divine counsel, oh, how we could use it in our troubled world. All that counsel sealed up and hidden away, a pathetic situation. But then one of the elders represent the people of the church who have died and entered heaven. One of the elders said to John, "Stop crying." Then he pointed to a lamb, of all things, a lamb, who was in the midst of this heavenly scene. And John says that this lamb went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is what our suffering world is waiting to hear. This is the reason to stop crying. This inspires hope. This is the joy of being in the church, and this is why the church today sings. There is someone who can open and reveal to us the counsels of God. There is someone who has all power, all wisdom, and who shares it with our miserable and suffering world. That someone is the Lamb, who was slain but now lives. That Lamb is Jesus Christ. God sent His Son Jesus Christ into our world like a lamb. He was innocent and sinless. He loved His Heavenly Father and wronged no one. This Lamb of God was killed, sacrificed on a cross, because He had come to take away the sins of the world. He died. He died especially for your sins. When you stand deep in tears and hopeless because of death, the Lamb sends you this word, stop crying. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen, just as He told you. So we sing. Not only Mr. Chapman, not only Professor Resch and the Contrari, not only you, not only I. When I say we sing, I mean the church of all ages sings. You and I, who now find ourselves in the troubles and hardships of daily life, we gather and sing of our Redeemer who brings us out to a lively hope and an unending victory. The church in heaven is singing too. All those who have died trusting in Jesus to save them are singing with us. For Jesus Christ is not dead, but lives. And all who die in Jesus are living now with Him. Who else in the world can sing the song of Easter but the people of God who know His redemption? What organization but the redeemed church gathers in song around the one who came not to rule with power, but to serve and to die? Who other than the Lamb can unite people from different lands and backgrounds? And oh, how we need that today. Who other than Jesus Christ can overcome the barriers of tongues and unite us in songs of praise? How our lamenting world needs to unite in praise. Who other than Jesus Christ can bring people together in a victory that continues into all eternity? There is no one who can do this except the resurrected Jesus Christ. And there is no one who sings the song of Easter like the people of God, His church. Join us as an amazed world hears us sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Bye.